drawing in a way that you are actually happy with yourself rather than trying to please other people is where you'll find your own organic style.
Hello and welcome to Overshare, a podcast where we have honest conversations with creative people we admire about the struggles that often come along with being a creative professional. In a world of carefully curated portfolio sites and Instagram feeds, we try to get past those highlights and discuss the tough stuff we don't talk about in public often enough. In this episode, you will learn how to persevere through the uncertainty of when to start your freelance career. It's okay to go back to a full-time job you might not love to give yourself time to hone your craft before going freelance again. You'll also learn not to measure your talent or your success on the number of followers you have. I'm your host, Justin Genak, and I'm also the co-founder of Working Not Working, a curated community that connects companies with the universe's most respected, most awarded, and hardest working creatives in advertising, design, production, and tech. Please subscribe to ensure that you get our future episodes when they're released every 2 weeks, and also please rate and review us to help other people discover Overshare. This episode is from a live Overshare event in London where I interviewed the incredible Irish illustrator Laura Callahan. Her work is adored for the strength and diversity of the women she features in her art, along with the crazy amounts of detail she puts into every scene and every pattern. I'm obsessed with Laura's attention to detail and her ability to balance strength and vulnerability in her characters and in herself. We had a great conversation, especially when it gets to the recent trend of feminism being co-opted by capitalism and which of these projects she says yes or no to. I also love her general motto in the face of adversity, you just have to get on with it. Anyway, make sure to check out the link to Laura's work in the show notes for context, and please enjoy our conversation. Well, we were talking earlier, you said you don't like leaving the house.
Not really.
No.
I do everything I can to avoid it. Yeah, but now that the sun is shining, the weather's good.
Yeah.
Probably get out
it's good
more.
To come out.
Yeah.
So we'll start with some easy questions. What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck, probably.
Okay, good. That's a good one. What's your favorite article of clothing to draw?
Oh, trousers, because I like to draw butts.
Okay.
Yeah, probably yeah. Trousers.
Okay, good. Now, just going back, like, where are you from originally, and did you grow up in a creative household?
I'm from a town called Dundalk in a county called Louth in the northeast of Ireland, which none of you have probably heard of. It's incredibly small. There's nothing really there. It's where the Corrs come from. Do you know the Corrs?
No
oh
idea.
Oh, my God. Okay, right. We're off to a great start. So, there's nothing really going on there. And no, I don't come from a particularly creative household. No, like, my dad's a electrician. My mom was a... What the fuck was she? Biomedical scientist. She worked at a hospital.
Wow.
So not a lot of, like, creative stuff going on, but they're incredibly supportive people, and they always encourage us to kind of play creatively, and paid for me to go to art classes outside of school, so they're encouraging in that way. Yeah.
So they knew you had a passion about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's like a passion when you're 10 years old. It's more like, well, they seem to like this thing, so we'll get to wear this for a bit longer. They're encouraging.
Did you go to school for art?
I did, yeah. After I left secondary school, I'd actually originally planned to go to college to study to be train to be a primary school teacher. So thank fuck that didn't work. I don't particularly like children. I don't really like getting up in front of people. And yeah. So
that was like all of your least favorite things in one job.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're, what age are you, 16, 17 when you're leaving school? You don't really know what you want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but teaching seemed as good a job as any. You get long school holidays, blah, blah, blah. But then I did art for my leaving cert or A-levels. I don't know what the American equivalent is, like your final year in secondary school. And there was a few people in my class who... were going on to study art then afterwards, so I kind of got the idea in my head then, I suppose, and did a portfolio course after leaving. So you got a little taster of kind of different aspects of art, like printing and painting, and put a portfolio together to apply for art school, which was, I think, a good 50% of the class were drawing peppers in various states of decomposition and skulls, the usual stuff. And then I went to NCAD, National College of Art and Design in Dublin then to do visual communication.
Yeah, and And when you got out, did you go straight into illustration or?
No, not at all, no. There was no illustration course in Ireland at the time. I think things have changed now. I think there is a course actually in NCAD, but it's only just started this year. So I kind of chose the next best thing and did visual communication, which is more graphic design, kind of straightforward branding and that kind of thing. Yeah. But while I was studying, I did an internship for a few weeks and in a graphic design studio, and I think I realized pretty quickly that I didn't want to do it full time. I'd always incorporated illustration into my work and what I did, so I then went on to do a master's in London, moved over to London to do that for a year. So no, it wasn't a straightforward path into illustration.
And you said recently, or you're telling me that you just went full-time illustration in the past couple of years. So what were you doing in between uni and now?
A bit of everything, really. I mean, you don't leave and immediately embark on an illustration career, I don't think. Well, very few people do anyway. I work various jobs full-time in offices for the first maybe 3 years that I graduated. I tried going full-time freelance quite early on, and that backfired pretty quickly.
So you were like, let me do this, and then no work came in?
No, I had been working in the accounts department of a biscuit factory, which is not as exciting or delicious as it sounds. And I was doing my own work kind of in the evenings and posting things online, and the art director of the Sunday Telegraph magazine got in touch with me to do a weekly illustration. So I thought, yes, great, like, I've made it. I can quit my full-time job and survive on this 4 editorial illustrations a month. I mean, I could have stuck at it, I suppose, for a bit longer, but I'm an antsy person when it comes to money, so not enough was coming in. Then I got a job with DNAD, just doing like office kind of grunt
work. So you didn't try to go back to the biscuit job?
I didn't, no.
Did you quit that like epically? Like just like walking out the door, flipping the bird?
No, okay. Not my style. It was very polite. So then, I think it was maybe 4 years ago, I'd done work for a restaurant chain here called ZZ. I'd done a few murals for them. And I got to know the creative director there a little bit. And there was a job going as a graphic designer in one of their parent companies called Ask Italian. Do any of you know what it is? It's gross.
Ask what?
Ask Italian.
Oh, Ask Italian.
It's a high street restaurant chain. Yeah, so I worked as a part-time graphic designer for them in-house for 4 years. Actually,
and so what gave you the confidence the second time around, since you already had tried being a full-time illustrator once? What was the tipping point?
I don't think it was one thing. It was kind of a gradual progression, but obviously things kind of took off for me a bit. I was working consistently and having to turn down jobs because I was working 3 days a week then in the office. And it's like when you're an in-house designer, especially for something like a restaurant chain, it's a cyclical thing. So you're doing every Christmas the same kind of work, churning out menus and
taking bow tie pasta and putting it in the shape of a tree.
Yeah, I just hit a wall with it, I think, a bit. And graphic design was never like a passion of mine, really. So I don't have any responsibilities. I don't have any kids. I don't have a mortgage. So I thought now's as good a time as any to kind of take the leap. Yeah,
that's great. And I went and looked at, like, I was Googling you, and I saw you had some work. I found some work from 2012.
No.
It is so different than your style now. So did your style, if you get a chance to look it up, did your style evolve from that to where you are now, or did something change where you're just like, nope, I like this new style?
Oh, no, it definitely evolved. I think creatively, I think I'm kind of a bit of a late bloomer. Like, I see people now who are still studying illustration or who've just recently graduated, and they have such a honed style, and I just don't know how people do it. It took me a while to kind of find my feet and find my style. I think while I was studying illustration, the course I was on was really geared towards children's books, so I kind of just followed the crowd and thought that's what I should be doing as
it's
well.
Like super friendly.
So I was drawing a really kind of simplistic style and didn't really have a lot of confidence in just like going and figuring out what it was that I wanted to draw and what I wanted to do. And it wasn't actually until I was working in those kind of office jobs, and you don't really have enough time in the evening or at the weekends to sort of work on commissions or anything, so you're just drawing what you want to draw. And I guess around that time then the style of work in now started to develop. But yeah, it's been, I mean, it's still developing. If things weren't continuously developing, it would be boring and depressing.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. It seems like now what I've, you know, your work is known for being really badass, strong, powerful women. Mm-hmm. And amazing patterns, which I'm like obsessed with. Have you done any textiles, like,
no,
just in general? Like,
no, I haven't. But
can you?
I would love to. Like, that is one of the kind of goals or things that I would love to do, would be to design clothing. But I literally have no idea where to start. It's like a completely different skill set. So I think I would need to pair up with somebody. I don't even know, like, how.
I remember today that, like, what, 2-3 years ago, we did a capsule collection with Print All Over Me, and you were one of the artists.
Oh, yes. Okay, there we go. Yeah,
that was like the only time, but it was more you had illustrations of women in the pattern making.
Yeah.
But it was like, that was cool.
That was.
I forgot about it until today.
I forgot about it as well. Yeah. So I did tell a lie there. Yeah, I know, I have done textiles in that case. I've done screen printed t-shirts and stuff for my shop, and there's a slow kind of progression into maybe experimenting with a few different things, items of clothing. But I'd love to design stuff from scratch and design fits. And
so, like, the patterns that you have in your artwork, do you pull inspiration for those from stuff you've found, or are you coming up with all of those from scratch every single time?
I mean, it depends. Like, some will be inspired by existing prints or designers, but more often now I'm using patterns and clothing to kind of convey an idea or tell something about the character that's wearing them. So they are made up, made from scratch. And it's fun to kind of think,
that angry octopus pattern. Like,
what's the weirdest thing you could put on a shirt? It's fun.
And then do you the patterns in general, but the it seems like there's a lot of, obviously a lot of character in there. Do you put like a narrative in your head when you're drawing each character, of like who they are, what they're doing? There's like there's so much strength in each of your each of your women that you draw.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, when it comes to my own work, 100%. That's kind of what I'm interested in doing. I like to do sort of single shot narratives. So yeah, there's always a character inside the drawing.
But how do you start when you get you're doing your own work, and like, you know, your artwork and your style and the women that you draw are very representative of many cultures and body shapes and all that. Like, how do you, when you sit down to create something, is there a moment where you're saying, hey, I specifically want this type of person, or are you saying, I want someone who just maybe punched a guy in the face and want her to be embodied here? It's just like everything, like where does that come from? Like, the characters come from?
Well, with my own work, the idea for the piece comes first, and then I guess the characters, like, just whatever I think fits best. And I don't think I make a conscious decision to say, okay, I'm going to have this kind of person, they're going to have this kind of hair and this kind of body. It's just what fits best with the narrative or idea that I'm trying to tell. Yeah.
That makes sense. Do you feel like you're as badass as your characters?
No.
So they're more of an alter ego?
What is badass? Like,
I don't
what
know.
Do you
like,
mean?
Like, I don't know, like, as strong as your characters or as...
Yeah, like, this is the thing, though. I think a lot of work made by women, featuring women now, gets kind of pegged into this badass, boss bitches, like, bad ladies kind of stuff.
And you got to whisper it, yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, yeah, the characters might be strong or whatever, but there's also a level of vulnerability, or it's not all about, like, I don't know, punching guys in the face or whatever. I just want them to be well-rounded characters. Yeah.
Well, I guess that is like there's so much nuance in like the expressions.
Yeah.
And their body language.
Yeah.
And I like
some of them are sad and some of them are weak.
Yeah. So. And I like how also a lot of your stuff is very like their poses are very non-traditional too.
Yeah.
I was looking at your stuff, and it feels like a lot of it feels to me like a bit like a Renaissance painting.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I feel like you were saying that you're working on like a gallery show, and I just want you to do like a massive like 10 yeah. foot one with like 50 women in it.
I want to too. Yeah, just give me a year. No, I'd love to do some. I do want to do a big drawing for this show that I'm doing in September. Yeah, yeah. Working at that kind of scale, like I haven't done it in years. The last time I did it was for those murals I was talking about, and yeah. It was working in a very different style back then, but yeah, drawing those big body shapes, yeah,
massive, huge. Yeah. That's cool. How long does it like your drawings typically take, because there's so much detail in them?
I mean, how long is a piece of string? I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
For like your editorial work, where you have like more art,
well, yeah. For commissioned work, yeah. You're working on a deadline, so and also, as you only put in as much effort or detail as you're being paid for, do you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I can turn those around fairly quickly. For personal work, for the paintings, like the paintings I did for my show 2 years ago, they're kind of A3 in size. It depends on how easy the ideas and the research comes to you, but from start to finish, like from sketching it out to actually finishing, I'd say maybe 5 days. But that 5 days could be five, you know, 18-hour days. Yeah, yeah. It is very laborious work, but I enjoy it and get into it. So.
So you like zone out and you're.
Yeah.
And you work from home now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You prefer that over being in a studio or something?
Yeah. So we've got a spare room. We're lucky enough to have a spare room in the flat that we live in. So I work from there. I've always worked from wherever I've been living, bar like a 6 month period about 3 years ago when I was working in a studio, a shared studio with other people. Yeah, it's just not for me. I'm very solitary. I prefer to just like sit on my own in a room and watch what I want to watch. And I can be really messy as well. So yeah, like it's probably not the best for my mental health, but it works at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, does anybody here work from home alone? Anybody else?
Yeah.
Doesn't that shit get lonely? It gets so lonely. I used to do it, and I'd be like 15 hours in a row and forget to put music on. And my ex would come through the front door after a long day of work, and I'd be like a puppy running to the door. Oh, my God, did you see this on the internet? And she's like, dude, just go to like Starbucks. Talk to anybody.
Well.
Like, do you get like a little crazy?
No, I mean.
Because I did, for sure.
I don't really. I'm not. I don't really need to talk to many people at all.
They're not here. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But also, my partner works at home kind of most of the week anyway in a different room. So even just knowing there is a person that you can kind of pester if you're bored or whatever, or get you to make a cup of coffee, like that's, yeah, that helps a bit. I'd say if I was working completely on my own, living on my own, somewhere very quiet, then maybe it would feel lonely. But we live on an intersection of two busiest roads in South London, so I never feel alone. I have some really noisy upstairs neighbors as well, so no.
That's good. Now let's talk a little bit about Instagram. Like you have a shit ton of followers.
Yeah.
Like, and you only
didn't
started,
buy them.
You didn't buy. I was going to ask you, did you buy them? No. You didn't.
No, I didn't buy.
Really?
Them. No. Why
like
would
a,
I?
Like maybe like a couple thousand just to like kickstart it or.
No.
So wait, you only started posting. I deep creeped you down to 2014.
That's very creepy.
It was like, well, I had to see because I wanted to see if your I was trying to find your style. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, 2014. That's not a long time to have been on Instagram. And like, so what was like the turning point for where your work started connecting with people and getting traction?
Well, I think we have to go back in time to before Instagram when Tumblr existed because that was the original and. I had a lot of followers on there. Well, it was considered a lot of followers at the time. I think you get crazy amounts of followers on Instagram now. But people knew my work from that, and I think that kind of just transferred over. Like those initial posts in 2014 was me trying out Instagram and thinking, this is shit, I'm going back to Tumblr.
Yeah. Why put a filter on this? Why would I do that?
Yeah, I don't understand what this is for. Like, why would somebody be looking at it on their phone? but yeah, I don't really know what happened. I can't answer that question for you. I have no idea. Yeah. I think maybe it was just easier back then. I think it's so difficult now for people to get established on Instagram, they've made it impossible with the algorithms. Everything's completely monetized. But back then, it was much more about organic growth. And, you know, like around the time that I started posting almost every day, I was working on a series of paintings for Pick Me Up, for the Pick Me Up Selects. Okay. It was the exhibition here. And a lot of people saw that and started following me through that. And then it just built. I honestly don't know.
That's good. Do you feel like at a certain point, like even now you have a lot, do you feel a pressure now to create for an audience? You said you were posting every day. Like, do you feel like you have to keep that up now, or just having that large of an audience affect what you're willing to post? Or
yeah, definitely. I think it does. Yeah. I wouldn't say that it make me want to post more often. Like, I can only post as much as, you know, I've only got so much work to show people. But yeah, you are aware that there's, you know, a few thousand people looking at something, and if something doesn't really fit in with what I'm doing, then I won't really post it. But I think the like stories are good for that. You post the kind of bits and pieces of crap that you never finish on there, and like sort of in progress. Well, that, things,
that's all I ever use now. I have no idea what to post on my feed.
Nobody looks at it, I don't think. I mean, I don't really know the ins and outs. I wouldn't consider myself like very versed in Instagram at all. I would have no idea what to tell anybody that wanted to gain more followers or anything. But yeah, stories
make work that actually connects with people.
But there's so many people who are doing that it's never going to be seen. It's all bloody.
Well, that's why, like, Instagram, I realize, is just like a scorecard for creativity now. Like, it's so easy to be doing like amazing work and you have 500 followers and someone else maybe is doing something similar and they have 50,000 or 100,000, and then you're just constantly feeling like shit.
It's like, it's bullshit. It's all bullshit.
It's all bullshit, guys. Laura said it. Don't feel bad that you have.
But my partner works in comics, or he does comics. Yeah. And even sending pitches to publishers now, that's something that they look for. Like, what is your Instagram following or your Twitter following, like it's some record of how successful or good you are as an artist, which is ridiculous. Like, that's
it seems to be happening. Like, we did a survey a few months ago, and he said, like, what are people worried about in the industry? And many people said that people were only gonna get hired for their following.
And it's like, so crazy. Like,
well, especially with the algorithms now, it's like it's not even worth as much as it used to be because people aren't seeing your stuff as much.
No.
Yeah. But it's like, do you think that's like a real concern, that, you know, people are only going after people with huge followings?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And even poor me in my ivory tower with thousands of followers, you do kind of wonder, like, oh, are you just getting hired for certain jobs because of the following that you have? And when Instagram doesn't mean anything anymore, which it will eventually one day, like, are people still going to be coming to you with work? I don't think you can ever, like, rest on your laurels or count on one thing as bringing you business. And I think that's what a lot of people are using Instagram for now.
So how do you make sure you don't rest on your laurels then?
I don't know. I mean, just trying to make interesting work. That's all you can do, really.
Have there been any points in the past couple of years since you've been freelancing where, like, been any, like, tough points or low points where you're considering either going back and taking another job, or you're just like, shit, I don't know if I can do this? Or
yeah, definitely. I mean, 2 months after I quit my job last year, I was thinking, shit, I've made a massive mistake. I had a comic book deal lined up with kind of talking back and forth with a writer that was sort of penciled in to start in October. So I hadn't taken on any work for the last few months of the year. And then that deal just ended up falling through. We couldn't agree on contract terms. And all of a sudden I was left with, I mean, in illustration, you're always told to kind of work 2 months in advance just to cover your own back. But so I had nothing lined up, and I found myself like kind of twiddling my thumbs in November and thinking, shit, I've made the biggest mistake ever. I should have kept the job. But like, the work starts to trickle back in. You've got quiet months and busy months, and
And what do you do in those moments? Do you have like a support system, like you said, your partner? Are there other people within the industry that you rely on, or is it just like,
I'm friendless?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say massively. I mean, no, I think you just have to get on with it. And it's part of what you do. You're never going to be 100% secure, unfortunately, as a freelancer. You just have to be prepared in those months that are quiet, have some of your own work to keep working on, like have your fingers in a few different pies. I've got an online shop now, so that's like probably a third, if not half, of my income at the moment. So like that keeps me busy. I always know that's there, even if the commercial work is quiet, you know.
Yeah. What haven't you done that yet that you'd be excited to work on and do?
I'd love to do my own book. I've been trying to work on a pitch like on and off probably for about 2 years, but it's just finding the time. There just never seems to be enough time.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be excited to do, I think. Or something animated, but I don't animate.
Just gonna ask you about that, yeah.
I'd like to do something with somebody. It would be exciting. I did some animated title graphics. I didn't animate them. I just drew them for an Irish TV program. It's on Netflix now, actually. It's called Can't Cope, Won't Cope. It's very good.
What is it called?
Can't Cope, Won't Cope.
Can't Cope, Won't Cope?
Can't Cope, Won't Cope.
Oh, Can't Cope, Won't Cope. I'm just a dumb American. I can't hear accents well. To be honest, I couldn't watch Game of Thrones for the first 3 years.
No, this program
I couldn't understand anything.
Subtitles.
Yeah, it needs subtitles.
Yeah, because it's a Cork accent, so I've got a very soft Irish accent. Yeah. This is considered a non-accent when I go home. So
yeah,
you'd need subtitles.
So when you go home, do they feel like you've gotten soft from living in London?
My dad says, "Yeah, I've been anglicized."
You've been ostracized?
Yeah.
Anglicized.
Oh, anglicized. God. I didn't even know anglicized was a word. I'm learning so much here.
Anglicized. I don't know. I guess I have lost it a little bit. Yeah. I've been here for almost a decade, so.
Yeah. And then what are some moments that you've been most proud?
Most proud of my work?
Yeah, of your work, yeah.
Probably my solo exhibition, the first solo exhibition I did in 2016 in KK Outlet. I felt like I got some of my voice forward, and maybe it showed a bit more of my personality, and I put a lot of work into it, and a lot of people came to the opening, and my mom and dad came. It was really good.
That feels nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are you trying to put out in your next exhibition that you knew that you haven't done yet?
Well, I'm in the very early stages of planning. I'm hoping to do some bigger paintings, some textile printing, a bit of ceramic painting maybe. Just working with different materials. And yeah, like it'll be a bigger body of work, hopefully, fingers crossed. Like, I don't know yet. Yeah. Don't scare me.
You haven't planned it yet. That's okay.
No.
That's totally okay. I was going to ask you... So I went and wrote down a bunch of questions before I got here, and then my computer crashed. So we are winging it, guys. What was I going to ask you there? Oh, we were talking earlier about imposter syndrome. Like you said, you don't like speaking that often.
No.
Because you feel... I feel like all of us feel that, though.
Yeah. I think we do. Yeah, and some people are just better at kind of working through it. But I always was under the impression that you reached a certain point and then those feelings would sort of fade away. And really I should be able to point to some of the things that I've done and think, yeah, I deserve to be here or considered an artist even. But no, imposter syndrome is strong.
Like all the time. I feel it too. And it's one of those things where then you realize nobody has it figured out.
Nobody
knows what the fuck they're doing.
No.
And then we're all just like kind of faking it. And
yeah,
standing
one person's
here,
work is just as valid as the next. Yeah. I don't know what the answer
is. How do you get through those moments? I used to be really hard on myself.
Yeah.
And then I would just be, and then you realize that the stuff you say to yourself, you would never say to one of your friends.
Yeah.
I was like that.
That's a good way to think about it, actually. Yeah. I don't know. You just have to get on with it, don't you? There's no point in, you're not going to miss out on opportunities just because you feel that, you being asked to do something should be reason enough to believe in yourself, you know?
Inspirational. Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah.
Like,
for me, it's like it's one of those things where it's just really easy to go and just question that stuff. But it's you know, I think it's also helpful to be around people who encourage you as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What else are you working on these days that you that you're excited about or that you?
that I'm excited about. To be honest, I've just been doing commercial work and commissions for the past 4 months, which I wouldn't say it's not exciting, but I wouldn't say it's exciting either. I've just been trying to get work out of the way and a bit of money together so that I can take the next few months off and do the exhibition work. So I am excited about that. Potentially doing a children's book with an author in the next kind of few months. So that'll be exciting. It's something completely different, but kind of going back to what I initially thought that I wanted to do in
illustration. Would it be in the similar to your current style, or would you go back to a different style?
I think I'll just have to find a new sort of style, yeah. Like an amalgamation of my old style and my new style, maybe. I don't know.
That's exciting. Yeah. Well, because I've talked to a lot of people, and they say it's like a lot of times it's difficult to evolve your style because people keep coming to you for the thing that you do.
Well, exactly, yeah. And that happens constantly with commercial work. I feel like I've drawn the same 5 drawings over and over again. And occasionally with commercial clients, you can push the boat a little bit and maybe try a dip. But your personal work is where you should be experimenting, I think.
And what's your balance of personal work to commission work?
It depends. I think this year is pretty much going to be 50-50. Last year, I did a lot more commissioned work. I get burnout very easily with the commission stuff. Like if I do 2 months of intense client work, then I sort of need a month to recuperate before I can even start thinking of ideas for my own stuff. So yeah.
Do you take time off at all?
Very rarely. you can't really when you're freelance. Well, unless you're doing really, really well. I don't know. I also get antsy as well when I'm not working, so my sort of default mode is overworked and stressed out. I'm starting to get a bit better at taking time for myself. But yeah, it has to be like a conscious decision to do it.
Like, do you work on vacations?
Yeah, well, I used to. Yeah, I used to take my scanner everywhere with me and bloody carry-on case on a Ryanair flight. You know, like...
Your scanner, guys, carry-on, yeah.
Yeah, a scanner does not read well going through a scanner and security. It looks like a pickaxe. Yeah.
So you're very suspicious.
Yeah. But I've gotten better at that as well. Like, I don't want to go on a holiday and not be on a holiday. So, now that I'm full-time freelance, I think you can organize things a bit better, plan your time out a bit better, and I'm trying not to do it, yeah.
It's so easy to get burnt out, and I feel like...
Completely.
Do you, like, I feel like, especially as ambitious people, like, you seem ambitious. Do you feel like your ambition gets in the way of your happiness at all?
I don't think it's the way of my happiness, but I think it's definitely gotten in the way of my health or just, like, general well-being, like, mental and physical. I think there was a tipping point when I turned, like, 29, you know, when you're just going into the 30s, where you suddenly realize my body is failing me because you can't do all-nighters anymore or, like, sit for fucking 15 hours a day. Like, it's just ridiculous. So I've started to work on that as well. I've got a proper chair now. So.
Yeah, and how else do you take care of yourself now?
I work out. Well, no, I do yoga and all that shite, you know. But just to look after your back and your hands, like, that's your
livelihood, yeah.
Yeah, those are your tools. And it's so easy to hurt yourself or to make it impossible to work. Like, if something happened to me where I wasn't able to sit at my desk for a work day, then I wouldn't be able to pay my rent. So, yeah.
That's also, like, the importance of having a good bed.
Yes, I do have a good bed.
Yeah.
I don't have a Casper mattress. No.
My problem is my bed is too good, and I got really good sheets, and so now I just don't get out of bed.
Ooh.
Like, on a Saturday, I'm in bed till like 2 o'clock just on my phone for no reason.
I don't know.
It's good not to leave bed. I don't know. I'm pretty lazy.
A good mattress is important. And a good chair, I think. Like, that's... If I get young illustrators asking me for tips, like, that's pretty much the only concrete tip I can give somebody is, like, as soon as you can start to afford a good chair, buy a good chair. Get the Rolls Royce of chairs. That's what I have.
Wait, what is the Rolls Royce of chairs?
I can't even remember the brand name. It's like Aeron or something.
Oh yeah, those are the legit ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other like prized possessions?
For working?
No, or just at all.
At all. I don't really.
That chair sounds like it might be at the top of your list.
That. Bar my laptop, I think that's the most expensive thing I own. Yeah, I don't really have a lot of prized possessions. No, I don't have a lot of possessions.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's nice. And then lastly, how do you feel right now?
Good. A bit good. Sweaty.
A bit sweaty. Well, that's a good, honest answer.
It's a lot warmer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's pretty warm.
Spring is here.
Yeah, we did it, guys. We did spring. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
Well,
thank you.
Thanks. We will do a little Q&A if anybody has questions. Anybody have questions? Questions? Oh, over here? Here. Yeah.
So I have to quickly apologize here. I forgot to give the mic to the audience members for the first few questions of the Q&A. So I'm going to jump in here with their questions just so you have some context. Can you talk about the craft of your work and how much of your time you spend working on screen?
I draw everything by hand, so yeah, the inking of things is always by hand, but with commercial work, I color it digitally just because it's so much quicker, you can make changes easier, so I don't actually spend that much time in front of a screen. Yeah, it's mostly hunched over a piece of paper.
How did you first get your big break?
How the fuck did I do this? I think the big break for me was the Sunday Telegraph weekly illustration thing, because it just gave me the space then to work on my own stuff. But, I mean, I got that job through Flickr, if you can believe it.
Does anybody know what
Flickr
is?
Do you know what Flickr is? Yeah.
Oh my god, that was like the biggest shit back then. Like nobody, everybody's like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I don't even know. Like that wasn't even that long ago, so I don't know who the hell was looking through Flickr. Yeah. But yeah, I think it was just posting my own work online rather than doing free jobs or badly paying jobs at the beginning of my career. But yeah, just like posting my own work online, I'd say was the main thing.
Like, did you feel a need, like I know a lot, especially early on in the career, feeling the need to put like almost everything that you do in your portfolio, just like prove that you did some stuff?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Any little drawing. But I think that's part of it, you know, like you sort of, I don't really believe in editing. I think you should just be putting loads of work online. Put everything online, something might stick, you know, like.
Well, it's like it's not being afraid of putting stuff out there and then seeing what people are drawn to.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know. No, like looking at your peers' work and having a conversation with your peers about what they're doing, I think that's important as well. Because the people who are coming up with you, you never know which one of them is going to be a hotshot art director one day come knocking at your door.
So just be nice to everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's good. Nice. Any other questions? Oh.
You're often described as an illustrator whose work represents all women or is a voice for women. Is that something you think about or do you just put your work out there?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I don't think it is or should ever be considered as that, no. But yeah, I think I'm definitely conscious that people might have those ideas about it. So you do have to think about what you're drawing and putting out there. But at the same time, I don't really want to get bogged down in what other people's ideas of my work. I don't know. That's a really tough one.
Well, it seems like it puts like a lot of pressure on you to like represent
an entire
gender.
You know, I think everybody should be held to the same standards, really. Like, if you're drawing work that's based in reality and it's based in the modern world, then you should be drawing inclusively. Yeah.
I mean, was that always a decision from the start?
I wouldn't say from the start at all. No, like, because you're... I feel like we were all just far less educated and like focused on ourselves and our own worlds when we were coming out of university. So it was definitely like a gradual process and a learning process, and I'm still learning. But Yeah, I'd say it is kind of a conscious thing.
Do you feel like everything that's been going on culturally in the past year has affected your work at all?
How do you mean culturally?
Well, just like the Me Too movement and Time's Up and just really a lack of tolerance for and more empowerment for women. Has that had any influence on your work?
I wouldn't say my work. Like, maybe more my just my personal life or having conversations with people in my life. Like, I do kind of think there's only... You can only go so far in your artwork. Like, artwork can only do so much. You kind of have to take it into the real world. Yeah.
And have real human conversations about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Question here? Here, I'm going to give a mic just so we get it. Sorry.
Hi.
Hello.
So just as a follow-on from those questions and points, I think your work sometimes might get labeled or associated with those kind of like movements or thoughts or ideals.
Yeah.
But there is also an issue at the minute where feminism and political movements like that have been commodified or, you know, monetized kind of inappropriately. Would that ever be a reason for you maybe turning down work or second-guessing what a client wants?
Definitely, yeah. I think you put it perfectly. Like, feminism has been co-opted and is now, co-opted by capitalism, basically, and used to sell things. So this idea of, like, badass bitches is being used to sell things to you. I've definitely turned down work from certain people or organizations where I just didn't feel like their sort of portrayal of themselves as a feminist entity married up to, like, their labor practices or what they're putting out into the world. Or, that is it.
Because it is a fine line between empowerment and then pandering.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, I have to eat and, like, you know, I do have to work, and part of that is taking on corporate commissions or commissions from companies. But yeah, it's all a bit gross, I think, the sort of like fake feminist angle. And I think everybody's kind of seeing through it now. Yeah, feminism as a fad is just...
And it's that's a little disheartening. It's like something that has real power and real meaning.
Yeah. And now it's kind of a dirty word.
Is there a way to take it back?
That's... Oh, my God. Why would you ask me such a tough question?
Just kidding. You don't have to answer that. Any other questions? Yeah, here.
Going back to your style, what do you think, how do you feel is the balance between you loving your own style and other people loving it and responding to it?
Do you mean like making work that I think other people will like, or?
Like, as you were developing your style and you were posting it, do you feel you need a really strong response from people to continue in that direction for your developing your style?
I don't think so. And I think once I wasn't concerned about that and let it fall away a little bit and was just working in a way that I was happy with and drawing things that I wanted to, that's actually what people were drawn to then. I think just like being true to yourself, drawing in a way that you are actually happy with yourself rather than trying to please other people is where you'll find your own organic style. And your style should be something that you want to work in and look forward to working in and should continue on all through your career. So I wouldn't be too concerned about whether people are liking it or responding to it. I think that comes with you finding your own voice in your work.
That seems difficult with like Instagram, because it's like an instant focus group and you're like, oh, that post.
Oh, no, definitely.
Oh, you got 500 likes instead.
Well,
of,
yeah. And I still post things and I get a lukewarm response to it. And you think, oh, my God, what did I do?
And it's probably just the algorithm not showing it to people.
It can be so many things, but you just kind of have to brush those thoughts away, because like, who cares?
Yeah. Any more questions? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So again, following on from that, right? All my questions are like really just following on. So would the end goal maybe be to be an illustrator and supporting yourself financially, or would it maybe be to be an artist and supporting yourself financially, where you maybe wouldn't have to worry about the Instagram focus group or whether your style is dictated by what people want, or clients coming to you because they want the same five drawings another five times.
This is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently because I'm full-time freelance now. And for me at the moment, the balance of commercial work and personal work works. I mean, I would always like to have more time to make more personal work or maybe do more like published work. But I get burnt out from that too, and you're not a never-ending font of ideas, and I think it's quite difficult to make a living just purely from your own art, unfortunately. So I think it's a mix of the two, but finding a ratio that works maybe a little bit better, yeah. Or feeling like you can turn down work that you feel is not up your street or like compromising your integrity or whatever.
When you're drawing new faces, do you draw people that you know, or like do you go off pictures, or do you make them up?
Kind of a mix of all of those things, really. I do use photographic reference sometimes as like a starting point. I'll never copy a face or copy any photographs online. So, but I think like especially when you're drawing people of different races, you have to be sensitive and true to life. And yeah, I think a reference is good for that. I don't know if I do draw very many people that I know. Maybe I do. I don't know. I'd not consciously, but yeah, people have said that's your head or that's your butt or whatever, you know. But yeah, a bit of a mix, really. Yeah, sometimes I do make up faces. But I mean, everything's recalling back to something else, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
How do you find a balance between what the audience wants and what you want?
I don't really. This is going to sound very rude, but I don't really think about the audience that much. Well, when it comes to personal work, anyway, I don't really care that much because I am just sort of making it for myself, really.
How about for like your shop though? Because then that's very much for an audience.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it can be quite difficult actually because you want to make personal work to sell and something that you're happy with, but then you also have to think, is anybody going to want to buy this? And as the shop grows, hopefully I'll be able to take a few more chances with things and maybe make some things that I personally would want to wear or buy or hang on a wall, but I don't know if anybody else would.
Well, there's so many good little nuanced like secrets and jokes within your work, like in the details in the background, or like there was like a Whole Foods. What would you call it? Droll?
Prudes,
yeah. Like all of those little details are really nice and like super funny. Like, do you put like some of that stuff within your shop, or do you have are you trying intentionally to have like an Easter egg in every single piece, or?
It's not an intentional thing. I think it's more like. No, well, of course it is an intentional thing, yeah. I just like pieces to have a bit of humour in them, not be so dark or bogged down in any one idea. And also it's like entertaining for myself when I'm doing it, yeah. It's a bit of like brain exercise to think up of.
I think if you're making yourself laugh, it's probably going to resonate with other people.
I don't know about that. But okay.
All right, we have time for one more, if there's one more question. Oh, we're good. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Woo. Thank you.
Laura, thank you so much for leaving your house and joining me on stage. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed this overshare, please subscribe to ensure you get our future episodes and they're released every 2 weeks. Also, please rate and review us to help other people discover Overshare. Thanks to the Trampery and Shoreditch London for generously hosting us, to Amanda Wilkes for recording the audio at the event. Thanks to Working Out Working's Gabby D'Amato for editing this episode, and the Overshare theme song is Let It Grow by Caleb Groh. Follow us on the brand new Overshare Instagram and Twitter accounts at Overshare Talks to find more content and info about our live events. And if you'd like to learn more about Working Not Working and join us as a creative or to hire creatives, check us out at workingnotworking.com. That is all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.